Okay, this is George Sears. It looks like I'm trying to see everybody who's online tonight. I got Dwayne, I got Bruce. Paul, it looks like he's trying to connect via audio. We got Nick. Who's the HOA Pine Meadow Ranch? Is that Michelle?
Either Michelle or Nick.
Okay. So 1, 2, 3. Six. Okay. So it looks like we have a quorum. We can go ahead and get started. It is 6:32 p.m. This is the Pine Meadow Ranch Homeowners Association meeting on February 16th, 2021. So let's see which members of the board are present. This is George Sears, president. Bruce, why don't you go next since you're on the top of my list up here. Maybe Bruce will go. He's still muted, Bruce. So it looks like everybody is muted coming in. So you're going to have to unmute yourselves if you want to be able to talk. So Bruce, Dwayne.
Scott Boyle.
Okay, Scott Boyle is here. Paul, you're going to have to unmute yourself.
I'm Nick Jackson, vice president.
Okay, Nick Jackson's here.
Bruce Hutchinson, Area
Paul
5.
Suter, okay. Paul Suter, Area 6.
Okay. Let's see. And Dwayne, did you log in? Dwayne Anderson hasn't you have to go down the lower left-hand corner to unmute yourself. But Dwayne Anderson is also here.
I believe I did it.
Okay, there you are. You got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
I just didn't hear you.
I will remember now. Thank you.
Okay. Michelle, I'm
you're there. Ben
okay.
Ben Owich Area 2 is here.
Okay.
I was having audio issues.
That's understandable. Technology is great until it doesn't work quite the way we want it. And Michelle, are you HOA Pine Meadow Ranch? I'm assuming that would be her until she unmutes and tells me. We won't validate that, but we do have a quorum here. So let's go ahead. Jody, I see you're online as well.
Yes, Jody, ranch manager.
Okay, Jody's here, ranch manager. And then let's go ahead for it with the owners who are online. It says Jason Smith, but it looks like somebody other than Jason is there.
Sorry, this is Amy Wright. We're FMC 57. He is out plowing. He's been out since 4 a.m. So
I would guess so.
I'm logged into his computer. He's on his way.
Okay. Then I have Lisa Avila. Would you unmute and tell us your background? There you go.
I'm PIG 10.
Okay. Lisa Avila, thank you. Okay, Carrie.
I'm Carrie Bobo. I'm on Deer Loop. For those long timers, my dad was Calvin Cragen. So. Okay.
Thank you, Carrie. I have Andy Harris. Okay, Andy has not unmuted and tell us where they're from. Let's go with Lynn Kerr.
Yes, Lynn Kerr and Hunter Jackson, we're on Forgotten Lane.
I have Marty Jameson.
Yes, C66.
Andy Harris is here, FMB 29.
Okay, thank you, Andy. I had Brad Gannon.
B26 Navajo Drive.
Okay, thank you. The Donatis, it looks like. I'm not sure which one's online.
Yeah, Donatis 87B, Forest Meadow.
Thank you. Nolan?
Yep, this is Nolan, F18.
Nolan Mitchell. Ethan?
D158A.
Okay, that's Ethan. How do you spell your last name? Lamimum?
It's open to interpretation, but that sounded pretty good.
Okay, thank you. I have Sam and Heidi Vincent.
Yeah, PI-19 on Crow Loop.
Okay, thank you. And Andrew is now online. Andrew, you just want to highlight the fact that you're here anyway.
Yeah, Andrew Pagel.
I have Alan LeVar.
Yes, I'm on G38.
Okay. Robert, you're here, I see.
I'm here. I just don't have a video at the moment.
Okay, Robert Rosing's here. Okay, I'm trying to see if there's other names. I have a couple of phone numbers. I have 801-910-7714.
Tom LeChaminot, D29.
Thank you, Tom. I have 801-910-7714. Is that the same one, 714? That was. You show up on
Twitter.
Yeah. I don't know why that's happened. I have 949-632-1642.
Yeah, Brad Soprano, C61.
Thank you very much. I think that's everybody that I can tell at this point. If others join, we'll try and acknowledge them as they do so. Okay, let's go ahead and start the meeting this evening. And we're going to start with minutes. We have the minutes. I hope the members of the board have had a chance to review the November 11th, 2020 annual meeting minutes. Anybody have any corrections or anything that needs to occur on that particular report? I know that's a few months ago. Some of you were there. Some of you, the owners, would not have been there. But we have a change in at least two people who were not on the board at the time. So it would be up to the other nine if any of you have any items that need to be added, modified, or changed. Okay, so then I would
propose. I didn't see anything. I'll make a motion to accept the minute.
Okay, Paul, thank you. Anybody like to second that?
I'll second that. This is Nick.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Or were there any any who did not?
Aye.
Okay, then they're approved as they are, and then they'll be posted accordingly. The second set of minutes are from our January 19th, 2021 meeting last month. Anybody have any corrections or modifications that need to go on those minutes?
Again, I didn't see anything. I make a motion to accept them.
I didn't see anything either. Someone like to second that?
I'll second it.
Okay. Scott seconded that, if I remember, saw that correctly. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any against?
Aye.
This is Bennett. I abstain since I wasn't present.
Okay. Thank you, Bennett.
I abstain also. I did not review that. This is Bruce.
So we have two abstaining. The rest agreed to it in principle. Okay. Then we'll go ahead and approve those and have those posted as well. Okay. Let's go ahead and go to the ranch manager's report. We have a couple items under there that we'll discuss as well. But Jody, let's turn the time over to you. I'm sure you're busy up there. At least this
week. It's been a busy day. Yeah, busy week, actually. We've had a couple minor repairs this last week or so. for some bearings on the blower and on a sander. And the grader, the shoes on, and the cutting edge on the front plow needs to be replaced. I apologize for taking that down to the dirt, but we got, we need to talk about it. But we lost a shoe off of the grader blade, and that's the reason why it went to the dirt. I lifted as quick as I could with it, but sometimes you can't be on top of it. So everything else is, seems to be running okay.
How long will it take you to get the shoe replaced?
I'll have to order them this next week.
Okay. So we have two items here. Nicole, I didn't see Nicole online yet. She brought up the fact that we had a concern from Brian Thompson. Do you know anything about that, Jody? Or does anybody else on the board know anything about that since Nicole was...
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It was in front of his driveway. It went down to the dirt on the road. I was pushing back.
So it was Brian's area that was happening. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
George, can you hear me now?
I can now.
Okay. I'm glad I got that resolved, but Jody was able to answer your question, so.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, Jody, that was that item. We've had an issue this week around the plowing over on Forest Meadow. Any comments there, Jody, that you might have or that you've seen over there? And I don't know if Marty is the Jameson that we're referring to here or not.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any issues over there. I know it's getting narrow. We plan on going over there tomorrow with a blower and opening that one up.
Okay.
George, as far as I know, the issue is with Gary Jameson, and he is not related to Marty Jameson.
I didn't think so, but since I don't know everybody up there completely, I wanted to ask that as a clarification in case Marty wanted to say something.
Thank you.
That one is one that we're going to have to address in one form or another. But Jody, when you go over there this week, please look at it very closely for us, okay?
Can you tell me where he's talking?
Well, we're having feedback from owners that he is going outside the actual boundary of the road. He's taking it down down to the gravel as well. And he's not bringing down the berms as required in our guidelines.
Which road, George?
Hey, Jody, this is Ethan. If you go on Forest Meadow north of Arapaho, going back that way towards Porcupine, it's all down to dirt as of a couple hours ago, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. It's been so busy, I haven't had a chance to go around the connector this last week. So
that
I'll go
be
check
a
it out.
Path for you anyway, so.
You might talk, Jody, you might touch base with Jason also. He was there. He also saw some of that going on.
He just got here. I don't know if you can hear him. He hasn't talked all day, so his voice is out. But he said he actually stopped and spoke with Marty.
Gary. Yeah, Gary stopped to talk to me today.
He knocked over all the berms along Arapaho from
Forest Meadow over to Valley View. At least that's what he told me. I haven't put eyes on it. That was later in the day. After I'd plowed it out, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Jody, if you take the assignment to make sure you get over there and look at that for us, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay.
Has the letter gone out to him yet and to the property owner?
It has not gone out yet.
Hey, Jody, when you decide to go over, just give me a call. I'll meet you over there.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll be home all day too, Jason.
Okay. I'm just looking at chats to see if there's anything over there I need to bring up relative to this, but okay, got it. Thanks. We do have the chat feature open. If you have issues that you want us to address at some point in time later from the owners, just FYI. So the chat feature is operational. Thanks, Jody. Is there anything else that you want to give us a heads up on or anything that we should be aware of, other than the fact that it's finally snowing?
No, it's finally, we need the snow. We don't have a problem with the snow. So, and like I say, I do apologize for the dirt in front of Brian's place. So, and I was pushing back with the grader through there, and it just dug in where the shoe come off of the front plow. So we tried to leave the snow on the road for the snowmobile.
Yeah, we understand. It's kind of hard to handle it when you have a physical thing occur like that. It's not.
It is. It is. We've never changed them on this since I've worked there. They're due to be changed. So.
Okay. We'll follow up with you on that. If there's anything you need on that to get that done, don't even hesitate to let us know. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, George.
Okay. Paul sent out, the next item is the water company report. Paul sent out an email to the board, and also Scott followed on with that with one yesterday. And in a report for the water company, Paul, why don't you let you go first on that one?
Well, we don't have all night to talk about it, but essentially we're still working on an agreement, basically maybe a merger with
Mountain Regional.
I'm drawing a blank. Mountain Regional, thank you. and that connection that we have open with them. Again, it's obvious that our mountain does not supply enough water so to keep up during the summer. So it looks like we're pretty much not going to have a choice but to follow through with that.
Okay. Scott, did you have any comments? Because you were there also at the board meeting.
No, I don't have anything additional. I mean, we had some good discussion. You know, I think the water board's done a lot of due diligence in trying to, you know, acquire any kind of water source in and out of the ranch. And, you know, I was talking with one of the board members on the way out, and they basically were even talking about, like, the cemetery in Peoria has got plenty of water, mm-hmm. and, you know, can they work out a deal where we paid for a well to be dug, and, you know, we got credit for the water and stuff. So I think they've done a great job of trying to find water for us. It just isn't out there. So
for the rest of the year, we're going to have Paul Suter be our representative from the board, just so the board, I know the board voted this week, and I think everybody is okay with that at this point in time. So Paul, that is going to be your task to represent us as they go through these challenges for the rest of this year.
Hey, okay, Paul.
George, George, Michelle, will you send an email to the water company and CC all of us just so that they are aware that we're all on the same page?
That I will be happy to do that. I've already communicated with Eric to that end, but I will be happy to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Paul, could you expand on your comment on, you said, a possible merger with them?
Well, essentially, eventually, and this is going to take time, and a lot of stuff has to be worked out, but essentially, they will take over our water company.
Okay, so I'm guessing, yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty big process since we're all shareholders, and essentially it's going to be liquidated and transferred to them somehow, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we could seriously talk about it for a week straight, so, you know, it's coming down the pike, and it'll be discussed a lot, but
Paul, is there, you know, are there any official communications that you think the HOA should be sending out to owners at this point, given kind of our ability to reach people a little bit more than the water company at this point? Or is it premature for that and we just need to wait for things to progress before we reach out to our owner, to members?
I believe it's premature. That will definitely come. I mean, this has been kind of in the works for at least a year, you know, in one fashion or another anyway. So, you know, it's going to take a long time to work out all the details. I mean, there is a lot to it. There's a whole lot. So, but I honestly, you know, I don't want to get anyone scared. This is the best thing for the ranch, hands down. It should actually bring a lot of comfort to a lot of people. But there is a lot to work out.
Yeah,
I think we want to be careful with our messaging too, because they are a separate company. I think we can try to answer questions best we can, but we should as much as we can refer people back to the water company for answers.
Yeah, it's not our company. I mean, they're two separate entities. Yes, we're all, you know, up here together, but it is essentially their duty to inform people. But at this point, I think it'd be premature. You know, there's a whole lot to work out. And, you know, at this point, I think it's a good direction to go.
And Paul,
I think it's actually the only direction to go.
and Paul, also just kind of to expand on that. If there's any way that I guess you can, you know, kind of be in the representative from the board, just kind of emphasize to them, you know, the importance for them to be sending out memos and information to the owners. I know you already do a good job of that, but just emphasizing, right, like, especially over multiple things, like people not being able to call in, things like that. Anything you can emphasize to them to allow them to broaden their communication, right, to the shareholders is good.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree with you. I haven't been in an official capacity there ever.
To do that.
So next, you know, in 3 weeks, I will be, and I will definitely reiterate those concerns. Absolutely. I've just been there as an owner for the year that I've been going. So,
thank you so much. I think that'll be really helpful.
Yeah, I think, as I indicated to everybody, I think we just need to be careful. It's not our role, and I think Paul identified it correctly. It's not our role for the communications. Now, I'm an owner, therefore I have a share ownership in the water company. And everyone on this call, I believe, has a share. And so we just need to be conscious of what they're doing. But it's my understanding it could be a year and a half or more, depending on how the process works. And so I think we just need to be aware that it's happening, but I do believe it's there. I think Paul was right on point. It's their responsibility to communicate to the owners. That's how I.
And not only is it their responsibility to communicate to the owners, but you don't want to miscommunicate to the owners because you're not the water board, right? Correct. So I think, you know, I think this topic, you brought it up. It was discussed at the meeting. You know, I kind of agree with Paul. I mean, you could discuss this for days, but that would be a mistake.
No, I agree, which is that's why my comment to Paul was, I think the best thing he could do as a board representative is to emphasize to them the importance of communication, right? Just saying that, hey, whatever the HOA board can do to help with that, you know, or, you know, just emphasize them like this, you know, could you please communicate to the owners, right? Because we represent owners. They, you know, obviously separate company represent them. So it's their duty, but the HOA board should emphasize the importance of that duty.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I understand that, Andrew. I'll make it happen.
Okay. Thank you, Paul, and also for your comments, Scott. I think it's going to be a discussion that we'll probably have more than once over the next year or so. I've noticed that we have had additional people join. So when you come online to talk or anything like that, would you please identify yourself and provide your lot number and so forth. From a board perspective, Nicole Irving has joined the board, the meeting, just FYI. Okay. Let's move on then to area rep items. I put that next in part because I had a couple people ask me about when they would have the opportunity to bring something up that may have been recent and not had the chance to bring it up. So let me just run down, starting with Area 1. Do we have anything out of Area 1 that needs to be brought up tonight? Dwayne, if that's you, we don't have any audio.
Do you now?
Yes, we do now, yes.
I had an auxiliary thing for hearing because I'm not hearing you folks as well as I want to. So okay. We've had a two or three inquiries in regards to people interested in developing and mine, and it was mostly on unforgotten or forgotten lane. But either way, they were asking about snow removal and different things, and thank you, George, for helping me. We did our best to answer all the questions, and so that's really all we had as far as Area 1.
Okay, thank you. Area 2? I don't know, is she online tonight?
That's Bennett, he's online.
Yep, too many mute buttons going on.
We understand, Bevan. Technology.
Yeah, I'm having all sorts of trouble with my internet connection today. So can you please repeat the request?
I'm just going through the areas to see if you have anything that needs to be brought up tonight, just quickly.
Perfect. Nope. We're all good in Area 2, as far as I'm aware.
Okay. Area 3?
That's me, Jill Wilson. We don't have anything to bring up tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Area 4?
No concerns, really. There was just that email from Brian Thompson that I had forwarded. I wasn't on the meeting just yet. Was that addressed when Jody was on?
Just to give you a brief, what happened over there as he was in front of Brian's area, he lost a shoe on the grader, and the grader dropped down and he graded down to the ground, so to speak. He apologized for that. They are getting a new shoe to replace that this week, but he was very much aware of it, and he apologized to that end.
Okay. Other than that, Area 4 is good.
Okay, Area 5.
The only one I'd bring up is a standard age-old problem of people deciding to park in the middle of the road while they snow shoe or sled down some of the hills, thinking that because there's a berm there, nobody can get through. But that we're attempting to resolve.
Okay. I think it was last meeting, it was brought up the possibility of those stickers and letting different people have access to those stickers to put onto some of those vehicles that are breaking the rules. But that's something we should have a separate discussion with the group. Okay. Anything else, Bruce? Okay. Area 6.
All quiet up here.
Okay, Area 7, Scott.
Just a couple of issues people have gotten in touch with me on. The age-old, what can we do to shut down some of the construction trucks and stuff that are coming up and down the canyon and trying to get to build sites, and not being prepared for it. So the question is, what can we do to shut that down? The other was an issue with sledding on Tollgate Canyon. What we can do to let people know that these roads aren't good sledding hills because of the traffic, whether it's snowmobile or vehicles that are coming up and down, too many blind corners. So that, I guess, is an issue that has come up in the past and is now pulling back up again.
Has anybody else seen that issue of people actually sledding down Tollgate Canyon?
I actually saw it brought up on Facebook, and I made a comment that, there's not much we can do about it unless we have information of who it is. And at that point, all we can do is send a letter, and if they have grave concern, they should call the sheriff, because there's nothing we can do while they're doing it.
This is Bennett. I saw people park in the middle lot and
led down from there a few different times. And as Paul mentioned, like, I'm not a tollgate cop, so I wasn't sure what to do about it at the time other than tell them that they're being dumb.
Well, I think telling them that they're being dumb is a good start. Yeah, we're not policemen, and all we can do is warn if they're owners. There are people up there that are doing a lot of things that are not owners, but they're relatives or friends of owners. And so that's a challenge that we're going to have to come up with. I made a note of that one. That's an interesting.
I think that might be something, you know, when we talk about when people come in for building and get plans approved, that maybe part of what they're given and maybe something that we need to distribute or communicate every fall is, you know, that's not a smart thing to be doing. The risk you're taking, you know, something that you've got to accept if you're going to do something like that. But, you know, just once again, just keep bringing it up and let people know that that's just not an acceptable activity.
We're going to get a communications report this evening, I understand. And one of the tools we have a couple of tools that are going to come out of that in the future. And one being, welcome packet for new owners, but also we're going to be looking at newsletter for the owners. And these are the kinds of things, especially when it comes to safety, that we can definitely address and help highlight. And I think we do have an obligation to highlight that kind of information.
George, may I make a comment to that?
Sure, Bruce.
I received a call from, since I'm one of the few that have my telephone listed on the website, I get some strange calls. Today, I got one from someone who had been, they initially said that they needed to know whether chains were required on tollgate. And I said, yes. He said, well, just chains or four-wheel drive chains, whatever else. When I questioned them further, they weren't owners up there. There's evidently some Airbnb that they wanted to attend. I got another call a little later today from an owner that said that her daughter was coming up as a renter, she called it, was coming down too fast and they had an accident there on tollgate. So we're not getting the communique out to people who are renting up there either. That needs to be addressed.
We will be
there's happy. Not much we can do. They drive past two signs that say it. They're not going to do anything. This has been an issue for 20 plus years.
You're right.
There's really no way to resolve this.
I think that as we go down the path of getting some rules and regulations around renters, we can help in the communication side. But I think as we look at safety in general, these are topics that we need to figure out how best to communicate. And I'm concerned about, I came up the mountain a couple times last month just to see, well, for lots of different reasons, I was checking out the rock. We all know about last month's discussion on that. And just to see how things were, because we've had such light snow. But I'll tell you, we do have some safety issues coming up and down tollgate. And how best to communicate, that's our role and responsibility, is to communicate as best we possibly can to help people make wise decisions. And that's something we need to address as we get into safety. Okay, anything else, Bruce? Okay, so we're going to move on to our committee reports. I'll turn it over to the ARC at this point. That would be Nick, I believe. We have anything? I don't know if we do, Nick.
So we don't have any new submissions this month. We had a couple inquiries, but it's pretty quiet, I think, just because it's winter. We did actually, I found out tonight that we got a lot improvement plan last week and it didn't get forwarded. So I think there's something wrong with our email forwarding. So we will have one to consider shortly, but for tonight, we don't have anything to talk about. We'll do that. We'll do that one over email over the next.
Okay.
Nick, I saw a response to an inquiry that you had on how to submit, whether it required a hard copy. Are you going to be submitting it to the rest of the board? In other words, are you going to be the the center and then distribute it from there, or how are we to get it from Dropbox or what?
So I can put it in the Dropbox, and I can also just email it to the board. I guess our building, at least our building email address, is not currently working. So I'll put
Nick,
it on.
Do you know when that started? Because nothing should have changed.
I can forward you the forwarded email that I got that shows when it was sent.
Okay, I can troubleshoot that after.
Nick, could you also let us know, like, when is the last time you did receive an email to that address?
Yes. Yeah, will do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that work, Bruce? I can put them on Dropbox and then email the.
Yeah, I don't automatically check Dropbox unless I'm given a notice that there's something new in there that needs to be reviewed.
I'll email as well then.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So that's it for the ARC for tonight.
Okay. Very good. Roads and parking.
Okay. We had one individual, Andy Harris, who wanted me to get in contact with them. So I made contact with her and talked about some of her questions and concerns that she has. And one of them, you know, was a good point made that I think somewhere, and I'm not sure if it's the road committee that needs to do it or just the board, but one of the concerns was that people are paying for an impact fee on the roads when they build. And then once the building is completed, roads have been damaged, they're not seeing those roads repaired. So the question becomes, you know, what's happening with the impact fees? Where does that get absorbed? Are they earmarked in a special account that would go back to that particular road that was been damaged when that owner built? So it's kind of like, how are those impact fees being applied? And then kind of, you know, goes along with the communication, which we'll be working on. So that was just kind of one of the contacts I needed to make. I'm trying to get a Zoom meeting scheduled with the road committee so we can discuss some of the things that I've got out there for them to look at, so we can start coming up with some of the rules and regulations and things that we need to deal with. And that's kind of where we're at. I'm hoping to get something scheduled this week for that committee so we can start making out some assignments and get things written down and start having people review it and see where we need to go from. One of the things that I was looking into is for the problem we're having with FM D122 lot, if we had a letter of non-compliance, and I put it out there, but I wasn't sure if we have a letter of non-compliance that could be written up and given to that individual or other individuals that are doing things that are against our rules and regulations or CC&Rs.
We have a letter that Robert has drafted, and it hasn't gone out yet. I saw the most recent one this afternoon, and I know Nick has also had a chance to look at it. We should probably let you read it as well. But this one is a little bit more complex, in part because the individual in F20 or in 22 there is a renter, not the owner. And so it's got to be a dual model where we have to communicate.
Right. So, and that's what I just wondering. I mean, do we have a generic one, or do we need to be concerned with, you know, something specific depending on the situation?
This one will be very specific. Carol does have a non-compliance standard that she uses in general, okay. But I'm convinced that as I've looked at as I'm looking at compliance in general, we probably need to have more than one version because different issues need to be addressed slightly differently. And so that's one of the things on the compliance meeting, and that group has not met yet. But as I started making my list of items that I want to see addressed, one of them is that particular letter of how we do non-compliance, first of all, as a warning, and then as a fining when we fine people. So we've got to be a little more, we've got to be do things slightly differently as I see us going forward. That's my view.
Well, I just was wondering, you know, is it something that the road committee needs to develop a non-compliance letter that is specific to road issues?
I would encourage you to definitely put something in place and let us have a review on the compliance group as we move forward in that. And that's one of the areas that we need to look at.
All right.
George?
Yes.
Can we have Rob Rosing respond to that? Do we have any standing whatsoever with a renter damaging our roads at this point? Is there anything we can do?
I think there is.
Why?
Certainly with a renter, the easiest and most direct way is to hold the owner of the property responsible for his or her renter's behavior. And then so we would fine the owner for the renter's behavior, because the renter is up here at the owner's request and with the owner's permission. And if the renter continues to violate the rules, then you progressively fine the owner more and more until the owner takes action to control his or her renter. That's the most direct way. There are other ways as well, but that's the most direct.
Just another comment relative to add that to Robert. We have in our rules and regulations, if they have damaged the road, they are responsible for any expenses associated with us us fixing that. And that would also go against the owners. We can't, a renter is harder to encumber, so to speak, but the owners is a whole different ballgame. We'll talk about renters here in a minute, but long-term renters versus short-term renters and different ways we have to look at them.
And one other item, do we have a account for Zoom that the road committee could use to schedule Zoom meetings? I have mine, but it's only good for the half an hour time frame. So
we do have.
I can for you. So this is Michelle. I can set it up for you, and then Paul's on the road committee as well, so I can show him how to. I can probably just give him the login and get you guys going.
Okay, thank you.
And it's a business license, so you're not limited. You can have up to 100 people, if I remember correctly, by reviewing it, and you have no time associated with it. Anything else on road and parking?
No.
Nicole, you sent out an email today with on fire. The fire
committee. Did.
Would you like to give us a little synopsis without going through all the detail? But that was a really well done outline. I really like that. Thank you.
Yeah, it took us 2 hours to go through all of that stuff. So
I'm surprised that you did it in 2 hours based on all of the line items. But
well, and that was just. We didn't dive in deep to each topic, but we just wanted to get a full picture of really what our fire and safety situation looks like as a community right now. And the bottom line is, it's not good. We are very unprepared. Nothing has been updated since at least 2006, 2008-ish. That was the most recent updated information I could find. And Dave Tellian is also on our committee, as well as Paul, and he's actively like involved in the fire scene and all of those things. And he is in the firm belief that Utah is ready for pretty big disaster. And with that, us being ill prepared is pretty scary. So let me.
He also reiterated that we are more unprepared than a lot of HOAs around, that we're way behind.
Much smaller HOAs. Ours, the size of our community should be far more prepared than it actually is. So let me pull up what I sent out really quick.
While you're doing it, I make a comment for the collective body that's on tonight. This needs to be addressed as best we possibly can before we hit fire season come this summer.
Unfortunately, these issues are going to take 4 or 5 years pretty easily to get caught up. Right. We are that far behind.
I don't disagree, but I think the focus now, and starting with what you guys started with, is really a starting point. But there are things we can be doing as we move forward to educate
Definitely.
Our and I think that's really I was really impressed with it. I just tell you that right now. Thanks.
There definitely it is going to be a long-term effort to get us where we need to be. And there are some pressing matters that, like emergency exits, finding out that we really only have like a written agreement for one emergency exit. And I'm pretty sure the rest are all based off of handshakes. That could be concerning. Where are the emergency exits? Where's the signage for the emergency exits? I know a lot of people are like, yeah, there's one over in Aplat and there's one that goes over to Blue Sky, but nothing is properly signaged. Yeah. No one actually knows where all of these are. Even I'm like still digging through maps that are on our website, trying to figure out where a lot of these are. So I think, yes, there
that's flat out dangerous during an emergency.
Right. I think that needs to be one of the things that we address first, because it doesn't require, that's like a paper trail mostly. And establishing those is going to be a lot easier than, and less manpower than what a lot of what we need is going to be. And then, yeah, it's just that it's like, there's so much, sometimes it's hard to figure out where to start. I know that we want to work towards being firewise, and a lot of that is communicating with our community and making sure everyone's aware of that. And I know a couple years ago we did the fire days where we were able to, Alan came out and like we set up booths and we're able to communicate like all those kind of things. But I think we need to really amp that up. And a lot of it is sitting down and actually coming up with like our plan, like our Firewise plan and our community preparedness plan and exit strategies and so on and so forth. However, there's only three of us on the committee. So I definitely think we need to put a call out to the community to get a lot more people involved. I know we're trying to keep our committees down.
Especially people with fire experience.
Yeah. And I know we're trying to keep our committees down to like 5 or 6, but I'm really thinking this needs to be a priority for us, because let me tell you, going through all of this stuff, like it's scary how like unprepared we are. And
it's extremely overwhelming.
We need plans. We need financial investments for maybe we need equipment. We might need an actual active contingency plan and like something more comprehensive and detailed than what us driving around the mountain and being like, well, I guess we could clear up some brush here and so on and so forth, and more employees to be able to actually do fuel mitigation. And that's going to cost money. And I think we need to reassess our budget and figure out and like make it a priority in our budget in years going forward, allocating money towards making sure that our community is safe. And then just little things like our burn pile, like making sure it's properly stacked up and used correctly. And helipads, we have helipad places in the community, but has anyone ever actually like maintained them and made sure that they're accessible? And there's a lot.
I think one of our biggest issues is that we need to talk about putting together a budget for this fire program, because I mean, realistically, we could today drop $80,000 on easily. A chipper, a good chipper for the HOA, and put it to 20 years worth of work, hire a full-time person to run it in, you know, side by side with Jody. I don't know if Jody has time to do that kind of thing, but if we could get the owners, you know, develop a program where we get the owners to drag out their wood or whatever to the street, and we run by on certain days, you know, maybe, you know, the first Monday of the month.
Yeah,
create our own chipping program to really get the ball rolling, get people involved. And we really need to get people out there and helping us, because we can't do it all. We can't even clear our own HOA lots in a satisfactory manner. But we definitely need the equipment. And it's not, yes, we can rent a chipper for, you know, short term, but that's not going to solve the problem. You know, we could rent a chipper. You never know what you're going to get when you rent one. It can be a bad one and waste an entire day's labor. And it is something that we could put to use for a long, long time and get other people involved. And it doesn't just have to be a chipper program. I mean, it constantly annoys me that's on Alexander Canyon, that for decades they have been building up trees. They stack these trees on a hillside at the base of a bunch of trees, which is just an invitation for a gigantic fire right there at the base of Alexander Canyon, which has wind currents that come up that could stoke the whole mountain. We don't have any clear-cut paths anywhere. We don't have any agreements with like Blue Sky, working with Blue Sky to maybe make a fire break, or with Bittner or any others. And it is truly overwhelming how
it is.
Bad off we are.
Pause here.
Yeah, for sure. Nicole, I'm sorry, my audio cut out once again. Did you all talk about the program for reimbursement for the work that people do on their own lots and inside the neighborhood? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we did talk about in the in-kind dollars program. And it is a great program. However, the funds don't go directly to our HOA. They go to the county, and then the county assesses where those funds need to be allocated. And then the other thing is that the program itself is overwhelmed on their side of things. There's one person that manages it for five counties and like the biggest counties in all of Utah. And I mean, it's good to keep track of those and to keep allocating those, because it shows the county that we are making an effort towards making our community safer for the county. But really, we need to be relying more on ourselves than those funds and need to be coming up with our own plan.
Let me interrupt. Yeah.
And on those in-kind dollars as well, takes, you know, somebody to input all that. I know Jan has done a lot of that. And, you know, I wish she was here. Maybe she is, Nolan. And she could speak to it, but you know, that takes time. And we could use a full-time secretary to do that kind of thing, as well as the Firewise site stuff is a lot of paperwork stuff. The CWPP, which is the Community Wildfire Protection Plan, all of that stuff. There's a lot of paper stuff. You know, this isn't something that just volunteers can do. I mean, we need serious dedication.
That goes into a bigger picture that I feel like we need to have a closed board discussion on. But George, what were you going to say?
I want to pause everybody here. The outline was excellent. I think all of the issues you just brought up are on that outline, at least that I'm sitting here looking
at. Yes.
And I think that's the next step that the committee needs to take relative to flushing that out. And then I would suggest, or I would submit, that we ought to have a separate board meeting or just a working board meeting to go through those items, because all of the items that you bring up are important. They're things that we need to look at, and we need to have, I think your point, Nicole, earlier, and also Paul, that we need to have a plan. And if we don't have a plan, we'll never get there. And, you know, I've been on the board just a little over a year and a half, maybe a year and 8 months. And this is the most comprehensive dialogue as far as, and something on paper that I've seen in that window of time relative to that. I mean, I remember talking with Powell about these kinds of things, and he even identified to me that, yeah, we have a lot of work to do if we really want to get where we need to be. And I think what you guys have now done is put it down on paper and say, here's the next steps. So you need to continue to flush it out. And when you're ready, and we need to get some more volunteers. I saw that as a request that we need to put out the request to the owners saying, if you have, especially Paul, I think you mentioned if they have fire backgrounds, let's get them together, flush it out, take it to the next level. And then let's have a focused dialogue on nothing but fire, because it is that critical. It is that important.
And it would take a focused meeting.
Rather than we get too deep into it tonight, I don't think we're ready collectively right now, but I do believe you've laid the groundwork. And I think people have heard some of the issues here this evening. And I think it's important for all of us to be aware of exactly the challenges that we have living in a mountain environment and all of the things that go along with that. So if you're okay with that, that's what I'd like to have you do, is go to that next step. That's why we have the committee. That's why we formed it. I think that's why we need to have these kinds of things driving us rather than us bringing it up and then forgetting about it for a month. You know, that's kind of how the board.
No, this isn't something that we plan to drop the ball on, because after assessing it this weekend and seeing how far behind we are, there's no other choice but to push forward.
Well, I think you got your work cut out for you, but I think the board members, I hope you heard some of those elements. And if you haven't read that email that Nicole sent out to all of us, take some time to look at it, because I thought it was well thought out between Nicole, Paul, and I don't know who else you guys had.
Dave Tillian.
Okay, you need to have that engagement, and let's put the call out. And I think if I remember correctly, Michelle, you asked that we do that call out on a broad brush email to our owners as part of that process. But let's take it to the next level. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to the next committee, which is Michelle's committee. It's communications.
Okay, so I've been working with Rocky on putting together a welcome packet for homeowners. One of the steps of that was getting updates from Carol when we get new people on the mountain. That wasn't happening for Nick and I. I think that may be resolved, but I got one update and then I haven't gotten another one since then, so I'm not sure if it's glitchy or what's going on. I can follow up with you on that.
Okay.
The welcome packet right now is 16 pages. I think, George, you and Nicole had reviewed it. I reviewed it today. There were some edits that I wanted to make, so I've given those back to Rocky. Some of the other things that we're looking at is ways to get meeting minutes back to the homeowners more quickly. We've thought about doing summary notes. We've been hit or miss on how successful that is. When I've tried to do it, I get pulled in too many directions, trying to let people into the Zoom calls, people chatting me for things during the call. I had somebody lined up to take notes that we could post in the interim until we get the transcribed minutes. That has fallen through. I just found that out before tonight's meeting. So I will still work on that. I did put out, Jan put together a poll that we linked on Facebook and the website. I will send this out to the board, but what we did find, we've gotten 57 responses so far, and people do read the minutes. They want them transcribed, so just having a summary is okay, but it's not going to do everything that they want.
Who did that poll go to?
It's on our website. There's a link to it on the website, and then it went out, the notification went out on Facebook.
So it did not go out via email, so there are a broad number of owners who would not have gotten that. That's all I'm asking, validating.
Right, yeah, it is on our website as well. I was going to get to that. So 57 people have responded so far, though. They want the transcribed meeting minutes within a week, though. So the timeline on getting these transcribed and back to us to post is still problematic. I'm also gathering up some other numbers for you. On the website visit itself, though, there were 599 website visits in the last 7 days, and there were 2,800 in the last 30 days. And people hit an average of 3 pages per visit. And I do have a breakdown of which pages they go to. So 32 people in the last month have gone to our meeting minutes page. So still some work to do there.
Well, that's 32 out of 800 owners.
I'm sorry, what?
The 32 out of 800 owners, or do you know if they had multiple properties, or is there any way to know that?
There's no way to know that. It just tells you that 32 unique visits to that page. So I think it's probably counting like IP addresses, which I won't be able to ever track back to anybody.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
We had two people, I've mentioned this before, lined up to do a newsletter in summer, and that fell through. So I did identify another person to do a newsletter. That has fallen through as well. So if we have somebody who can write the content of the newsletter, I'm more than happy to post it. The struggle has been getting people to write content.
Okay.
George, I think it should be pointed out, though, that most of our owners know, once you've gone to the website, you know that the meetings aren't posted for 2 months, they're not going to be looking, so they've learned a behavior not to bother looking because it's not there. So
that's okay. Thank you. That's fine. We're trying something tonight to see if we can improve that a little bit. So we'll see how that works. We've got to find a way to do it differently. That's that much we do know. Anything else, Michelle?
Nope, that's it for me.
Compliance has not met yet. Community improvement. That was, I think Michelle and Nicole were kind of in that one. Do you have anything that we have to worry about there tonight?
We've met Nicole, we've been in communication. Nicole, do you want to cover that, or I can?
You can cover it. We haven't really gone through much detail, but you can go through what we have gone through.
Okay. I think I'd mentioned in a past meeting that Nicole, Joanna, and I have walked and kind of scouted out one of the lots that we would like to start with improving. We do believe we need to do this in phases. We have some tentative, I guess, I don't want to call it a floor plan, I guess visual ideas of what kind of a pavilion we could start with for phase one, and we want to work on getting bids for that, and we have identified somebody to help us do a community fundraiser to increase the funds that we have for additional phases, and then we have also added Jill, who's the Area 3 rep, to our committee.
Okay. Any other comments on that one? Okay. Rentals, we haven't formally met yet. I have distributed to the people who are on the list. That's the both of the suitors and also the Donatis. And as the information that I found and gone out and tracked down in the state and at the county and examples of rules and regulations that we could implement as an HOA, mostly focused on short-term rentals, but many of the same issues also deal with long-term rentals. And there are some things that we can be doing And we'll be, especially in March, we'll be starting that process to really narrow down the things that need to be highlighted by our owners if they're going to be short-term renters on their property, as well as long-term renters will come into play as we move through that process. But at least we've making some progress. It took me a lot longer to go through all of the information that's out there in the world about rentals. It's a very complex area on one level, but it's very straightforward on other levels. So some of that will be shared with everybody as we move a little further up in on this. If you have the area reps, if you have people that are bugging you or asking questions about rentals, we know that we had 170 owners say they didn't want any short-term rentals on the property in the CCNRs, and that's not an option at this point. But we do have the ability as an HOA to have some level of control relative to how they need to behave, the renters need to behave, and who's accountable, which is the owner themselves, in that process. And that's the foundational element that we'll be working with. Anybody have any questions at this point? We haven't shared specifically, other than on the people that are on the committee, on some of the information that's out there.
George, where are you getting the information from? The county, state? Who has those limitations and requirements that we're able to follow? Is it a state statute that you're looking at?
Most of it's controlled within a community or a county. A city, a community. In the case of our friends here in Summit County, it's they give guidelines to the various communities, and then they also provide some outlines for unincorporated areas, and that's the areas that we are unincorporated, so there are some guidelines associated with that. The state has some broad guidelines, but they really are guidelines for the communities to establish the standards.
Through zoning compliance is what you're talking.
Well, it could be zoning compliance because it all depends on how it's defined within, you know, HOAs have the ability to, within the HOA, to establish rules and regulations. And that's the tools that we're going to have to use to have owners comply with some standards. Just an example, I mean, we don't do anything right now. If a renter is up there having a gay old time speeding or damaging the roads or doing anything like that, we don't have any recourse with the renters themselves, but we do have recourse with the owners, and the owners have an obligation to communicate the information on how those renters have to abide when they're on the ranch in those areas. And so that's where we need to look at how we can best move forward and get compliance. Because we have a lot of owners who are not very happy with some of the rental properties up there. And so we just gotta try and address it appropriately and give some guidance and provide some rules and regulations around that if they're gonna rent their properties out, either whether it's full-time or in the case of short-term renters.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's where we're at on all of the various committees at this point. Andrew, are you still, there you are, you're still here. So do you wanna go over budget review, unpaid bills, approvals, et cetera?
Yeah, it should be pretty straightforward. So just so everyone knows, total amount of unpaid bills, $17,733.95. This includes $10,250. It says micromanagement. That's for our contracted out plow fund on the Forest Meadow side. KGC Associates, that's Carol, it's $2,871. Robert, $3,000. Then we have some white saddle parts coming out to a total of $171. Last month, we already approved this, but it looks like the full payment Carol hadn't issued. So for the workers' compensation, it was $2,429. There was a payment last month of $987.60, which brings out to $1,441. and 40 cents. So I'd like to make a motion to approve to pay the total amount of the unpaid bills of $17,733.95.
Before we proceed on that, there was one last item that was brought up, and you may not have seen it in the process of all of this, and that was $51.35.
The Weebly.
For Weebly, and that Michelle paid directly, that she'd like to be reimbursed for. Are you okay with adding that?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me actually grab a calculator in. And she does got one right here.
So with that addition, you are still good with the proposal? Go ahead and approve. Motion to approve.
Yep. Yeah, just.
Anybody like
to? That was.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so those items have been approved.
And then just final financial comment. Robert, if you could just next month going forward, just let us know whenever that $2,000 threshold is exceeded, so then we can just approve past that.
He did reach out to us that was happening. Unfortunately, I don't think it got communicated all that effectively. So
did it not go to all of us?
Yeah, I think I might have just, that was, I think I sent an email to George when I realized it had happened. The fancy software I have did not tell me.
And that's why I made sure to make the comment after we approved, because I reviewed your invoice, looks fine. So I'm totally fine with it. Just next time, if you could, just when you send an email, just send it to like the Pine Meadows Ranch Board, you know, like the generic one to all of us. Just because I didn't see anything, but yeah, totally good with it. Thank you very much.
So Robert, do you have anything you want to give us this evening at this point?
Are we having a closed session?
We can. Would you rather do it there?
I guess I'll just make a couple points and then I think the letter is pretty much ready to go unless any other board members have any comments. And probably does need to go out on the plowing. Okay. And then, I got you do we need to discuss plowing rules in closed session?
Yeah, we do need to talk about that, but I would rather have you and I and Nick, and I'd like to get Scott involved in that just directly before we bring it to the whole board.
Okay. And I just throw out one other thing, on this, not to beat a dead horse, but we did start talking a lot about fire after the fire. And I'm glad to see it come back. And one other thing to keep in mind, we've now seen a couple of major insurance companies pull out of parts of Park City and certain areas in Summit County altogether because of fire risk. And I think that's going to become an increasingly common thing. So to those who might be concerned about, spending money on this, or, there could be a direct financial impact on owners, before there's a fire, because insurance rates are going up. And I think communities that are better prepared will ultimately be able to, to have insurance. I mean, there are projects we thought were going to be uninsurable for a little while, then we found some insurance, but it's a big concern.
I have also heard from individual homeowners that have lost insurance up here and have had a hard time getting property insurance on their cabins for the same reason.
Well, I would encourage all owners not to drop their insurance or go shopping very quickly, because I've heard the same thing going on up there, and they just need to be careful.
And I do think, one last comment, then I'll stop. I do think that as you work on the fire plan, one thing to keep in mind is that, like George said, the association can adopt rules, right? And the rules are for the health, welfare, and safety of the owners and the property on the mountain. And that certainly includes fire. And so at some point, when you get there, I think that the association could take a more active role in trying to mitigate the fire risk. Because if you don't, nobody else will.
Definitely. Yeah, we will definitely keep that in mind. Robert, I did have a random side question. Do you know where we ever ended up with the Noah Levine or Levine and getting his property transferred over for building rights?
Oh, so I lost you in the middle there.
Sorry, Noah Levine, that property transfer. Do we know where that ever ended up?
That was with the he's the guy who owned the two big parcels.
Right.
He basically, last I checked, and I could follow up, it's been a while, when he realized how much it was going to cost on his side to do what he wanted to do, he lost interest.
Oh, okay. Just curious. That's all.
Might be worth sending him an email to see if he changed his mind, though.
Yeah.
Is that the one near the gravel pit?
No, that's the intersection of Forest Meadows. That big open area. He owns that hillside.
Okay.
Hey, Paul, when we went snowmobiling with Nicole, it's where her and I turned right and you went left.
Yes. Yeah, we went and stopped and looked at it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Any other items that need to be brought up before we turn it over to the owners and see if they have any issues that need to come up?
And just one thing, George, real quick. I was looking at the chats and there was discussion on fire exits and stuff. And I responded to that email and like to throw my name in the hat there for working with fire exits. Being up on the ranch as long as I have, I know where those exits are. And I also know that most of them have been closed off because abuse from with inside the ranch, and some of them, you know, have been washed out, like Alexander Canyon and a few others that have just been gated off or fenced off because of abuse of stuff. So
yeah, and they're intended to be crash gates,
these aren't, because they've actually, you know, they're barbed wire fences because they're sick and tired of four-wheelers coming across their property. So you know, they've shut them off. I mean, you could go through the fence, I guess, with a vehicle and stuff. But, you know, I think we need to start looking at opening up some negotiations with those to see if we can't work out something to repair the damage that's happened in the past and open up communication for exits, because it's at the benefit of everybody. Regardless, it's everybody's benefit.
100%.
And we talked about some of that. And we also talked about the one in Alexander Canyon, and that one would take a lot of money to fix because, like you've said, that road's washed out. Yeah. You know, it takes a skilled dirt biker to get through there. You're not getting a normal vehicle ever, not anytime soon, anyway, without, you know, 20 grand worth of work, easy.
Yeah. And getting out East Canyon, you know, like I said, that's just because of abuse from snowmobilers and four-wheelers that, you know, they've fenced that off and things have shut down. But I think if we, you know, went and started opening up some type of communication with them and, you know, see if we can't put crash gates and, you know, keep the four-wheelers out and everything else, but still give us an exit.
Yeah, that'd be great, Scott. Thank you so much.
Okay. Anything else before we go to the owners? Okay, let's open it up to the owners. If individuals have issues or comments or things you'd like to bring up, please unmute yourself and let us know.
Don't dare say anything about Michelle. Don't.
Tom LeChaminot, D29.
Okay, Tom.
Are we enforcing the parking at the garbage cans or not?
Leave that to Scott, and I know Nick has been involved in that a little bit as well.
You know, we've got some time. We've come up with the amount of time people can spend there. And I believe there's signage stating that. So what we need to do is, you know, I guess decide on how we want to go about enforcing it. You know, is that something that we involve our ranch manager and say, you know, he's a point of contact that we have an abuse or we have a problem down there. They can go down there and put a sticker on the window. Give them how much time before they're towed?
Well, we have established the fact that the towing company from Park City will come over and tow if they do not have a sticker. They must have a parking sticker in order to be there.
Because I've sent several pictures. I think I included you, George, and last week or the week before. And then I sent them to Nick several times, including several trailers that have been parked there. There was a car hauler trailer that sat there for better than a week with no stickers on it. So it's either we either need to get rid of it all or enforce it.
Nick may want to take this one because he's the one that worked with Park City Towing, and I believe they are enforcing it.
Yeah, I mean, we can't control when they decide to come. They have refused to come, you know, for various reasons in the past. You know, we call when we get reports of cars that are parked that are against the rules. And, you know, sometimes Park City Towing won't come or won't come right away.
But do we have some of those real sticky stickers that we can get to people? So when that phone call comes in or those pictures come in, we can, you know, at least go down and put it on their window, letting them know they're in violation.
Yeah, yeah. Scott, most of the reps have them. Yes, I believe Scott. Nicole offered to get you some last meeting.
Yeah.
Scott, I can work with you on getting you some if you'd like, or if anybody needs some from the board, I'm happy to distribute.
Well, and the other point is who do we want or where do we want to come up with a point of contact where, like Tom mentioned, if there's something that we notice there and we can document that it's been there that long, you know, who should we contact or who should put that sticker on? Is that something we want the ranch manager to be responsible for? Or?
So Park City Towing goes through and monitors the lot. I don't know what their schedule is for doing it, but this is already in place. Maybe they didn't come one day because they had employees out or something. Maybe weather was inclement, like to Nick's point, that there has been a couple times where they haven't come up, but they do monitor the lot. We've had some owners complain that they monitor it too frequently because they parked without a sticker and were upset that they got towed, but they didn't have a sticker. So,
okay.
So the pictures I sent to George and Nick on there, the cars had sat there for 3 days.
Tom?
Before I ever sent pictures to you.
Well, Tom, why don't you let Scott know as well as Nick?
Okay.
What about those vans?
All right.
I just had a comment. Nick, you'd said that sometimes they refuse to come due to, like, you know, say weather conditions, like not refuse, but say they can't, you know, come like in a timely manner. But you said other times they just outright refuse to come. Why, like, is there any instances of why the towing company would just outright refuse to come and tow?
So I think it's based on the perceived value of the car, and, you know, how likely it is that somebody's going to come pick it up from them. And so basically if they get stuck with a clunker that nobody comes to pick up, then, you know, then they have a cost that they're going to incur. And so that's kind of the reason that they've given me before.
Makes sense.
Because the pictures I've sent here weren't of clunkers.
Oh, they were not clunkers. I would agree with that one.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd gladly pull all of them off for the vehicle if they don't pick them up, if I was a tow company.
I'm not sure the tow company will come and tow a trailer, but I do believe we have an obligation, you know, Let's get some more of those stickers. Nicole, get Scott some of those stickers, and collectively, Scott, I would suggest as the on the parking side of things, let's, you know, there's 11 of us, and not all of us are up on the mountain. There's four of us that aren't year round up there, but for those of us that are up there, let's start putting some of those stickers on them and see what happens. They're not going to be happy when they put the stickers on because they're really going to stick, but that's too bad. They're breaking the rules.
I'm happy to give them to anybody on the board, and I can hand the stack to Jody too. If he notices any cars lingering for too long, he's welcome to put one as well, in my opinion. So, yep, I'll get those distributed.
Okay, that's anybody else that has items that you'd like to bring up?
Can I make a suggestion on your weekend rentals also?
I'm sorry?
Because I noticed there was like 17 of them on the mountain. And due to this Friday night, we had a Tesla and a minivan stuck at the bottom of Alexander Canyon. And I guess they spent the night in the car. But I looked at the website for the cabin they were renting. And there's nothing in there. Information or rules about winter driving conditions.
Well, Tom, if you know which rental, can you forward that to us? Because I'm aware of a few rentals and they do contain language about parking, but I'm not aware of the one on Elk that had the issue.
Not parking, but snow tires and chains, Michelle.
Those are some of the items that we need to start highlighting. That's why we're working on rules and regulations for rentals. And
yeah.
We don't have anything out there specifically for rules and regulations, but the homeowners are responsible ultimately. It's not the renter. We can't control the renter, but we can.
Yeah, I mean, the renters, I mean, if it had been me and one of them flew in from Tennessee or something, and I'm not sure where the other ones were, but it's like they spent the night in the cabin and then got a wrecker to haul them out of here on Saturday morning, you know. Spent the night in the cars. I'm sure they're very pissed, but if somebody came in here at night and ends up dead because they can't get where they need to be and freeze to death or fumigating, what's that going to happen to the HOA? I'm just looking ahead, you know, okay, this could happen or that could happen. You know, I cornered Scott regarding a dumpster truck that chained up, came all the way into the end of Elk Road. And then Dougie's way back up the mountain. We got ruts over in Pine Meadow Drive that were a foot deep after he did that.
Well, just send that information send us the information on the Airbnb that it was. And then if you know where that dumpster headed, like, send us that too. Like, we want to enforce this stuff, but without evidence, we can't.
But I didn't know where he was going as I slid past him, coming up oil well. He goes, well, I'm chaining up. And then when I come home that night, it was like I could tell exactly where he went. I could follow his tracks all the way to the lot and then back out.
So Tom, Tom, follow up. You're going to just shoot an email to the board just with a couple photos of those ruts and then also like the URL link, right? To that Airbnb rental?
The rut is filled in the snow right now, so that's not going to do anything, but okay. I will get...
What about the URL?
You know, if Paul or somebody wants to give me a call, I don't have Michelle's phone number, but I can tell her where the VRBO was that they were renting or trying to rent.
Well, Tom, what we're asking for you to do is send us the URL link to the Airbnb that's being rented.
Okay.
An email so that we... I'm monitoring chat too. We usually post the budget on the website, and I don't think I actually have the budget for 2021. Andrew, can you send that to me in an email and I can get that posted in the next day or two?
No problem.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Real quick, hi, this is Sam Vincent. Michelle, it seemed like maybe there you alluded in an email that there's a change coming to the notification system for the meetings and the Zoom links.
I'm not sure I alluded to it in an email. You and I have spoken, and then we are trying to make a change where we're, instead of having people email me for the link, which is the current method and it's still valid, it'll work. I had about 10 people email me today to get the link. We are posting the Zoom detail, the Zoom invite details on the homepage of the website. I also send out a text reminder that there is a meeting coming. That went out yesterday if you're signed up for the info text. But the Zoom details are on the website, and we should be doing that going forward.
And Michelle, I just wanted to, I guess, kind of quick question. You had said that you were going to post the actual budget to the website. I don't think that historically we've ever posted any financials to the website since that is public information. And anyone who wants...
still out, 2019's is still out there, and
the full budget.
Yeah, the annual budget, the spreadsheet of the budget that's proposed and approved at the annual meeting has been posted every year since I'm on the website now, back 2013.
The actual Excel file, or is it just like a PDF?
I think it's a PDF.
I'm just trying to. Okay. Yeah, could you just shoot me a quick email just with the URL link to that exact page?
Yep.
And I'll just look at that, and then I can just know exactly what to send to you. Because there's just, right, like, obviously, like, kind of workers' pay and all that. I'll need to kind of...
Oh, no, not that. You know, it's the annual budget that we hand out at the annual meeting, and people vote on that. We usually give it as a handout. It's like 2 pages.
Yeah,
that's what's been... on the website in the past.
Okay.
But I'll send you a link to it so you know what to look for.
Perfect. Thank you.
So this is George. The annual budget is on the website, contained inside the presentation that we gave there. It's a one-page summary that Andrew used. But the actual PDF of the actual formal budget by itself, without being inside the PowerPoint, is not posted out there.
Yeah, and just for everyone who's on the call, just so you know, owners who are, say, unable to make the meeting, you know, whenever we, you know, review just kind of like the monthly bills, if they do email me and then Carol, you know, verifies that they are an owner, then I'm able to, you know, share financial information, but has to be just communication over email and verification that it's an owner. So, yeah, so I will provide the budget details, though, to you, Michelle.
Okay, you should have the email right now, too.
Thank you.
Sam, did you get your answer you need?
Yeah, I did. Thank you. I didn't understand in Michelle's email, now I realize she had copied and pasted from the website. So that makes sense. And I just sent you an email, Michelle, about getting on the info text.
Okay.
Actually, that's a good thing to cover right now, because we'll get questions every once in a while. And I've been looking at Facebook while we've been on the meeting, and people said they didn't get the notification. If you are on the website, and I'm there right now, under the home tab, there's a drop down that says communication, and from that tab, there's 2 text reminders that you can sign up for. One is Tollgate Fire. It is separate. You will only get a text message if you're signed up for that notification in the event of a fire. The Tollgate Info is the one you sign up for, and I will send out notifications if we know a road is going to be closed because maybe the water company's working on it or MagWater, and then I send out a reminder each month, usually the day before the HOA meeting. They are on the third Tuesday of every month, so they don't change. But a reminder does go out, and if I have the agenda at the time I send the reminder out, there's a link to the agenda as well. I didn't have it this month, so the agendas are posted on the website when we have them finalized too.
Thanks.
Okay, additional items from owners. Anybody have anything else they'd like to bring up? No takers? Okay. Well, we appreciate all of those who have been here this evening. If there anything else that needs to come from the board itself before I end the meeting, we will not be happy. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask about if there was a closed session or no.
I couldn't quite hear. Who was that?
It's Nicole. Sorry, I'm driving. Is there a closed session or no?
Bill didn't catch it. Did somebody else catch that?
He asked if there was a closed session.
We are not having a closed session.
No, there will not.
Thanks.
I'm sorry. Hard to hear. Closed session. No, we will not be having a closed session. We will be next month. But in the meantime, we've got a couple action items, and I'll reach out to Robert. I'd like to have Nick and I reach out to Robert on that email. And one other item relative to snow plowing. So anything else from the group? Okay, with that, we'll end the meeting. It is 8:07 p.m. I'm trying to get us as close to the 8 o'clock as in a commitment as we can. That's why we have committees and letting the committees do their reports, and also have the individuals let us know ahead of time of things that you need to have addressed. We can use this time wisely if we're doing our jobs on the committee level and prepping ourselves ahead of time. So I would encourage the board members who are members of committees to be actively engaged. Take the initiative where necessary, and let's make sure that we're plowing ahead on these. I just got to make a comment. I think some of these committees are now beginning to make progress, and that's what we want to see. And it will make our lives a lot easier as we work together as a team and also work with our owners to get the issues addressed appropriately. So with that, I'm pretty sure that's all I have, unless anybody has anything else. Okay, then that's the meeting. It's 8:08 p.m. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.